Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Eagles Live here from our Xfinity studio. I'm Dave Spadaro. We are live on the final Monday in February. March around the corner, and you know what that means. Free agency, the draft, the 2012 season. Schedule comes out in April. Can football really be far behind? Of course it's not. It's been a long, long month. We thank you for your patience and your passion and your love of the Philadelphia Eagles. We got some things to talk about here. Now, let me first say this. I watch just a little bit of the combine, okay? I can only take so much of it. Football is played on the field. I get the idea of comparing apples to apples physically. I think it's fascinating. I think the fact that so many of you watch that is further illustration of just how deeply ingrained the NFL is in everybody's lifestyle. But I don't fall in love with 40 times and with their standing broad jump and their bench presses and the 225 on the bench and the reps that they do and the cone drills. And it definitely is an illustration of what kind of athletes they are. I get that. A lot of difference between that and how they play. And you know, you see a wide receiver like Kendall Wright from Baylor. All you heard before the combine, what a riser this kid is. What a player this kid is. This is a wide receiver you must have. And then he goes out and runs a 4.69 40, and all of a sudden, the speculation is he's going to fall down the charts. Well, I always laugh when I hear people say, he's a riser. And this, well, according to the media, he rises up and down. According to the draft nicks, the draft experts, up and down. I don't think that NFL boards change that much. I think you really put a lot of emphasis. We've talked to Howie Roseman about this, Tom Heckert before him, Tom Modrak before him, John Wooten before him. Who else has been here since I've been here? Bill Davis, Chuck Banker, all those guys. Mike Lombardi, you evaluate on football, and certainly it helps to watch them in shorts and watch them run around. So we are talking combine. Now, as we get into our headlines here for the Eagles, there is definitely something going on. A lot of mysterious rumors, reports, etc., coming from Indianapolis. First things first, let's go chronologically here. The franchise tag deadline is next Monday. Now, contrary to previous reports, Sean Jackson, not an immediate franchise tag on him. So what does that mean? I mean, I believe this. I believe Jackson will be here this year. And I believe there's a chance that the Eagles get a long-term deal done with him before March 5th. I do not believe that the Eagles will put a franchise tag on Deshaun and trade him. I do not think that will happen. First of all, you're trading a guy with a $9 million cap hit. They're going to want to work out a long-term deal before they make a deal anyway. Deshaun Jackson, guys, I'm telling you, from the bottom of my heart, I believe this. He will be a Philadelphia Eagle this year, and I think there's a pretty good chance he'll be an Eagle for years to come. My guess, my opinion, we'll see if it happens. The Eagles last week meet with, yes, Robert Griffin III in Indianapolis. Now, the report came out when Griffin told reporters he had met with the Eagles. Shocker! I mean, this is a guy who's likely to be the second pick, third pick in the draft. The Rams are using that second pick as some trade cachet. Everybody loves Griffin. Tremendous athlete. Very intelligent kid. Winner at Baylor. Turned that program around. Does it all. He and Andrew Luck won too. I mean, come on. No way the Eagles go up and get him. What were they doing then? Probably just doing their homework. According to the Eagles, the draft cap, and the website is eaglescap.com. Eagles have more than $28 million in salary cap room this year. Don't know what that means exactly, but if it's even anywhere near that, I mean, that's huge. Huge! Full draft coverage starts Wednesday, April 25th. Of course, the draft begins at 6 p.m. April 26th. Make sure you are here throughout that entire week. We will be live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We will have the draft picks faster than anyone other than maybe at Dave Spadaro on Twitter. So go ahead and sign up for at Dave Spadaro on Twitter. I may give you a couple of extra seconds if you sign up for at Dave Spadaro. That's S-P-A-D-A-R-O. One word, Dave Spadaro at Twitter. And then, of course, last week the Eagles signed quarterback Trent Edwards. Are they done? Little typo there. At quarterback. We'll get into the Trent Edwards thing in just one moment as I get logged off here. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Upper Darby and talk to Donnie Lee. Hi, Donnie Lee.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm good.
I just want to mention something about the red zone offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the I-Pro formation, I believe, is like one of the most effective formations because it's like a triangle offense, like football version, because you have Michael Vick at the top of the triangle, and you have LeSean McCoy and Ronnie Brown, so the the defense can't,
I hear you.
Look at which one.
I hear you. So in other words, the Eagles didn't run enough I formation with the fullback leading the way. At times they did, and Owen Schmidt actually did a pretty nice job around the goal line. That's more of a goal line formation, not necessarily,
but
20 in.
This leads me to my one thing that just, kills me. The one play that worked so well with Brian Westbrook and even LeSean McCoy was that little ditch that
the pitch out to the edge.
Yeah, but if that's the only play you guys do out of the I-4 formation near the goal line, then I remember back in the day, that Nguyen called it out exactly right before it happened, and it got stopped. And it happened again against the Atlanta Falcons this year. So, I don't know. I mean, can we add some more plays to the I-Pro formation if you do it? So the defense doesn't always know. Called it out and it happened right there. So if a fan like me can call it out, I'm pretty sure veteran middle linebacker can do it as well.
Let me answer. It's an interesting point. Now, the fullback position, we all say, it's not very important. It's not very important. They only play, 17% of the snaps here. And there's certainly some truth to that. Owen Schmidt is scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent.
Uh-huh.
Looks like he's going to become an unrestricted free agent. But there are times when the Eagles do use that formation. You see it here against Miami. I mean, they did use it at times. And Schmidt was pretty good as a lead blocker. They like Stanley Hevelius, seventh round draft pick. They like him a lot.
Mr. Weaver coming back?
No. I've answered this question a lot. Leonard Weaver has a serious, serious injury that he is still coming back from.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, Mr.
Hey, no worries. Just call me Dave. Hey, thanks, Donnie Lee. Thanks for the phone call. 215-339-6709. I mean, the red zone efficiency must improve. The Eagles have to figure out a way to reduce the turnovers, score more touchdowns, allow Michael Vick to absorb less punishment. All year I was screaming out, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Pro Football Focus did a statistical nugget that our friend Duffy sent to me. The Eagles, the 11th highest run percentage in the red zone in the NFL last year. So it wasn't as pronounced throwing the football in the red zone as perhaps I thought. Maybe you want to increase that just a little bit, run the football just a little bit more. Play a little more smash-mouth football, a little mentality that way. If you do, you better have a real snot-knocking fullback to be physical with. And maybe a bigger running back. Now, I think LeSean McCoy has a tremendous... See, the thing about it, LeSean has such a tremendous nose for the running, for the end zone, that I'm not sure, in 04, Dorsey Levens was kind of a short yardage guy. I don't think I'd take this kid off the field much at all. Let's go to Steve in Alabama. Steve, good morning.
What's up, Dave?
How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. Back to a little football talk.
RG3, what does it mean?
Oh, man, I don't know what it means. I don't know. That's, I mean, we got three quarterbacks right now, don't we?
Yeah, the Trent Edwards thing, guys. I like Trent Edwards. I think it's a no-risk signing. He has had a checkered career with injuries. Not particularly effective in Buffalo, his cup of tea in Jacksonville. Oakland last year, he had an injury. Didn't play out there. I think it was a non-throwing shoulder. RG3 is a super, super talent. But there's no way the Eagles are going up. Unless they go absolutely crazy again in free agency, which I just don't expect. There's just no way they're going up to two.
I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't know.
The Browns are the team.
What's going to happen with the draft, man?
The Browns are the team going up to two if they want to.
Oh, the Redskins. I heard the Redskins might try and trade up for RG3.
We'll see. Somebody's going to.
I hope not, but
I'm not. I think RG3 6'1". That I don't like. 6'1", 6'2". Actually, 6'2". On our graphic, he's 6'1", though. But he's 6'2 3/8". I've been through the RG3 hype with Donovan and Michael, and I mean, you know, you've got to be a great pocket quarterback in this league, and this is what Michael's working on. You cannot survive on your legs. I think that RG3 has all the tools, but I don't. It's really not in my mind because there's no way the Eagles are going up from 15 to 2 unless they go crazy in free agency and then trade a bunch of their draft picks, and I don't see that happening.
I'm not too crazy on the RG3 stuff right now. I'm really staying in defense. That's my main priority. And I had tweeted you a wish list. I was thinking maybe, of course, I heard what you said at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We bring back Jackson. Despite everything, I don't care what type of season he had, the kid's explosive. The kid alters defense, and we need him in our offense. And I also feel maybe we can get Plex.
You want Tulloch? You want Tulloch? You want Keekly? You want Jackson and Plaxico Burress?
Now, when I say Tulloch, that'd be a vet in the linebacking core, and I'm thinking, why not go with another rookie linebacker also?
Well, why would you want two middle linebackers?
That's a wish list. But if I said Keekly, if he has a good combine, I'm looking at him today.
I don't know enough about Keekly. I don't. I will say this: it is too. I don't see I don't see Keekly at 15. I just don't. I personally would go. I would go veteran. No, I don't think he'll still be there. I would go veteran in free agency if somebody's out there, and then I would go. I happen to love a couple of the defensive tackles here. I would like a 330, 340, 350-pound defensive tackle.
Yeah.
I don't want a 237-pound middle linebacker. Now, Keekly may come in and show that. When I watch hit the little bit that I watch, and this is not an evaluation of him as a player, when I look at that picture right there, I look at a skinny-armed, thinly built guy. That's not is not a middle linebacker. That's just not a middle linebacker to me. And now the Eagles draft him, we'll find out. But I just don't see it. Now maybe he's a coverage guy. Now I can see him if you have a 350-pound defensive tackle in front of him.
Okay.
You better keep this kid clean in the NFL.
Okay.
He is not getting off 360-pound blockers.
What happened with Wow, I forgot his name. He tore his bicep this year.
Yeah, Antonio Dixon. Well, the thing about Antonio is they want him to slim down so he can use his quickness.
Oh, okay.
So they want him to be around around 315, 320.
Where is he now?
Oh, with guys that big, it's very difficult to tell. I don't know right now what he is.
Well, I think defense, defense. That's what it is. It's defense wins championships. Hate to say the cliche, but it's the truth. We have to beef up front, and we have to get somebody that could, stop the run in the middle. Now, I mean, if we don't go with linebackers, I know we will, but, I am pretty confident with Chaney in the middle. But then if we don't get a middle, we need to go with somebody on the outside because we need somebody.
We need
a linebacker.
I don't know what to make of Chaney. I mean, after his rookie year, thanks for the call, Steve. I really liked him. I think it's difficult to take a kid, then move him to strong side, and then move him back to the middle, and then he's got a neck injury, and then all that stuff really concerns me. It concerns me. So I want a physically dominating middle of the defensive line. Now, I think with Cullen Jenkins, the best way to use him is short yardage, throw him up at defensive end, keep him in the middle, use him as a hybrid a little bit. He shouldn't be playing 50 snaps a game. And I think that Jim Washburn did a great job rotating those players, keeping them fresh up front. It's still a speed defense, needs to be more physical. We have said this for a long, long time. They need to be physical. And there are 350-pound defensive tackles who are athletes who you have a chance to get a 15. All right, so let's talk to you about the offense. Now, last week the Eagles making an addition, bringing aboard Trent Edwards. Now, Trent Edwards, way back in the day, was rated as the best pro-style high school quarterback going into the college ranks. Chose Stanford, took a beating there. Goes to Buffalo, third-round draft pick, takes a beating there. How do you evaluate a quarterback when his eyes drop, and all of a sudden he's looking at the pass rush more than his receivers down the field? Well, the Eagles worked him out. They liked what they saw. He's here for a one-year deal. He's probably, at this point, number three in the rotation behind Mike Kafka and, of course, the starter, Michael Vick. And in our film room, Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell break down quarterback Trent Edwards. Let's take a look.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Film Room. He's Greg Cosell from NFL Films. I'm Adam Kaplan. And the big story, Greg, the Eagles did sign Trent Edwards, who worked out with him earlier this year. And I'll tell you what, Greg, when we go back to that 07 draft, he came out of Stanford as a third-round pick with the Buffalo Bills. Started off his career pretty well, had some injuries, but this guy definitely, he's shown he's got ability.
It's a very intriguing signing for this reason. I remember watching Edwards at Stanford, and that's before Stanford was any good. And he played on a team with a poor offensive line, and he got the crap beat out of him at Stanford. And I thought he was a tough kid, but I think what started to happen, even in the NFL with a Buffalo team that was not very good on the O-line, is I think the cumulative effect of pressure started to get to him a little bit, and he started to be a little jumpy in the pocket. But I think ability-wise, this kid's a very good player. And I think if you put him in a timing system where you define things for him and the ball can come out within the timing and rhythm of the offense, I think Trent Edwards can be a very effective player. I think he can make all the throws. Doesn't have a gun, but he's got a good arm. I think he can make all the throws. He will stand in there. He showed that. He just got tired of standing in there and getting hit all the time. But I think he's a tough kid mentally and physically, and I think that this would give him a chance to sort of revitalize his career with a coaching staff that will coach him well within a scheme that's really well designed and put together.
And think about this. You kind of touched it with Buffalo. Buffalo did not have a very good offensive line. The Jaguars did not have a very good offensive line when he was there. This is by far the best offensive line he'll have in front of him.
And the scheme will help him. This coaching staff is very good with pass concepts. They're not going to ask him to drop back seven steps and stand there and read the field. The ball will come out quick, and I think he can do that very effectively. So I think as a signing for a backup quarterback here in Philadelphia, this is a very good signing for a player who, by the way, I can tell you for a fact, there were teams who had him rated as a number one pick the year he came out.
A first-round pick. Oh, all right. That's it for the new Eagle, Trent Edwards.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hi, I'm Eagles cheerleader Sarah. How would you like to perform at Eagles home games for over 67,000 fans? Does cheering for your favorite team, modeling, and appearing at high-profile events interest you? Then you should audition to become a Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader. Our 2012 open call auditions are taking place on Saturday, March 24th at Lincoln Financial Field. Come try out to become a member of our elite NFL cheerleading squad. Visit the cheerleader section for more information and to register.
Hi Eagle fans, I'm Barry Rubin, the head strength and conditioning coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. With our new mini-series, Eagles Fit Tips, I'm going to show you how to properly prepare your body so you can get the most out of your workouts. Hey everyone, today we're going to talk about warm-ups. This is what we do with our players each day before we start our workouts. The first things that we do is joint mobility. We'll start at the top of the head and go all the way down to our ankles. So the first thing will be a neck roll, and just gonna roll the neck out one side to the left, say three times, and then come back, go to the right three times. And then after we do that, we go to the shoulders, gonna do a shoulder roll. And you can do these 5 to 10 reps. I'd start with small circles and go big circles, and then go backwards with small circles to big circles. And then we're making our way down. Next is gonna be our trunk. We'll do a trunk rotation. Do so many reps, 3 to 5 reps. Just rotating our trunk each way. And then we go down to our ankles. We'll do our ankles, just roll them out 2 or 3 times each way. And that will properly warm up your joints. After we've completed the joint mobility, we're gonna go into some movement stretch. The first one we're gonna do is the walking knee hug, which is gonna stretch out the glutes and the hip, where we're just walking, pulling the knee, coming up on your toe. And everything is in a dynamic way, so you're warming the body up properly before a workout. And you do anywhere from 4 to 6 reps. The next one we're gonna do is the walking leg cradle, and this is gonna get the IT band. And again, coming up on your toe. And of course, it works your balance also as you're doing this. Right there, and that gets your IT band. The third one is the walking quad stretch, which stretches the quad. Grab your foot, come up on your toe. Grab your foot, come up on your toe. And again on these, 4 to 6 reps right there, stretching your quad. The last one we're gonna do is walking opposite. And this is gonna warm up and stretch our hamstrings. So you just go down to the front part of your toe, you're walking on your heel,
and you can do anywhere from 6 to 10 reps on each leg right there. And with the combination of the joint mobility and the movement stretch, now you will be ready for your workout. Join us next time on Eagles Fit Tips where I'll discuss all the prehab exercises.
I cannot do the toe touches one. I can do the trunk rotation. By the way, Eagles fans, that's for you to get up and move. Stay in shape. We got a long season ahead. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. My boy, Dontario Poe. Dontari Poe, what do you run, 487? Dontari Poe. That's who I want, all right? That's who I want. How are you listening? 350 pounds of beast in the middle of that defensive line. It's Eagles Live. Who do we have here? Who do we have here? Antoine, D.C. Antoine!
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
Can you touch your toes?
Say what?
Can you touch your toes?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you pass our fit test today.
That's what's up.
What's up? How
you
doing?
I want to talk to you about some linebacker process that we may draft in this year's draft.
Okay.
Now, I don't see folks have us picking, what's his name, Luke Kuechly?
Keeley.
Keeley. I'm sorry.
Keeley.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Keeley.
Keekly.
Now, I feel what you're saying about Luke Kuechly. I really don't see him. He's a little undersized to me. The bottom line is that we need a physical presence in the middle.
Yes.
And some folks may disagree with me, and they may call me crazy, but I think we should take a chance on Vontae Berfley.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, I you know what's interesting? The word I get is that, for example, a guy like Hightower is not as physical as you need him to be. Perfect apparently is very physical and answered a lot of questions over the weekend about the fight he was involved in at Arizona State and his mentality and his maturity, and he had all the right things to say, as all these kids do right now. And I'm sure that the Eagles will consider him. I personally think, again, I'm of the belief that the Eagles really are in a situation where they got to win. And not to say that you cannot win with a rookie, but it makes it a bit more difficult with a young defensive coordinator and a rookie middle linebacker. Now, that said, if there's nobody available in free agency and you can't create Ray Lewis from mold, you know, you can't mold a Ray Lewis if it's not there, you know, you go with the best guy who's available.
Right.
But I'm not like dead set on a position in those first couple of rounds of the draft. I think if you go into the draft and you say that the Eagles need a safety, a linebacker, and an offensive guard, and they draft a safety, a linebacker, and an offensive guard in the first three picks, then the likelihood is that they're going to have a really bad draft because you're drafting players for positions of need, not taking players that you have highest rated on the board. There's no way that it always matches up the way you think it's going to match up. The Eagles need to be better at safety. They need to be better at linebacker. They need to be better on the defensive line. I mean, there's not an area on defense you can say, well, the Eagles are set there. Offense, yeah, you can say they got many, many pieces in place. But, I mean, I'll challenge any part of that defense. I'll challenge defensive end. Give me a defensive tackle. You want to give me a cornerback? Probably less likely to do that because there is a lot of talent here at cornerback.
Right.
But certainly safety, linebacker, I'll take any one of those positions.
Right, and I agree with you.
I mean, if you get a chance to take Barron, the kid from Alabama, will he be on the board at 15? You know, now I'm listening to NFL radio this morning on satellite, and they're talking about Trent Richardson being there.
Wow.
They're also talking about all these running backs in the league that have been late round picks. This kid, I mean, if can he cover you though? Like, see that negative is speed and coverage. That's scary.
Right.
That's scary.
Well, you know, Philly, like the wheel and deal, and it picked the best guy that's on the board as possible. So, you know, we just have to put our faith in that and put a trust into the front office and go from there and just win.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think the Eagles have some cap room. I think they're going to try to take care of their own first, and that means DeSean Jackson and Evan Mathis, and then maybe LeSean McCoy, and maybe Todd Harriman, as fans have talked about, and Trent Cole. And I mean, you know, there's guys on the team that are going to be saying, well, what about a new contract for me?
Yeah, I got one more question before I go. Now, do you expect Casey Matthews, Jaquan Jarrett, and Brandon Graham to make a huge leap this year?
Well, Brandon Graham better. He better. A lot riding on Brandon Graham. Jaquan Jarrett, absolutely a lot riding on him as well. Casey Matthews, I think, you know, look, I don't ever underestimate a Matthews, because I think a Matthews is going to work hard. He's going to be a, but clearly the kid has to get stronger.
He was thrown in the wolves with no off season, so that kind of hurt a little bit. But he made some strides towards
the end.
And now he's going to have a real off season, and I expect him to start.
Yeah, I don't know if I expect Casey to start. I think Casey's more of a situational specialty cover linebacker. I think he covers pretty well. I think he blitzes very well. I think he smothers screens great. So there's things that Casey Matthews does well that you can use. I look forward to seeing what he looks like when he comes back from working out on his own. I think he's not going to be a 235-pound linebacker. He's going to be a 243-pound linebacker. And then you're going to go, oh, enough size there. Kid's a tough physical player. You know, does he have the explosiveness that you like? I don't know. But I sure know that he smothers the screen pass as well as any linebacker I've seen. And he's a rookie. So
right.
There's some things to work with there. But that said, yes, the Eagles will add to the linebacker position. I guarantee it. How, who, where, I don't know. But they will absolutely add to the linebacker position. And the safety position, for that matter. And the defensive line. All right?
All right.
Antoine,
thanks, Dave.
Thanks, man. Work on your fit tips. All right, let's take a little break here on the other side. Eagles offensive coordinator Marty Mornhanwig. We went one-on-one with Coach down at the combine, or out at the combine, and 13 minutes of riveting stuff. What do the Eagles need to do offensively to play at the very highest level? We have that on the other side.
Say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There'll be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Grossman in the shotgun, and also Cooley, who makes the catch, and he is battled down. What a hit by Asamoah. Cooley made the catch in the flat, and Asamoah just leveled him for a 2-yard loss. What a play by Asamoah.
He makes the catch, but he didn't net very much.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Nnamdi Asamoah, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
Hi, I'm Amanda, one of your Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders. If you are interested in auditioning to become a Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader, then don't miss out on our upcoming mock audition, beauty, and fitness workshop, taking place on Tuesday, March 6th at Lincoln Financial Field. Check out the cheerleader section for more information and to register.
Coach, first thing I want to ask you is you've had a few months now to do a little bit of self-scouting, see what happened during the course of the season. When you look at the turnovers that this team had, what do you think that you guys can do going to next season to reduce them?
Well, you just said it. Take care of the football. We have been going through the whole process with our scheme evaluation as well as the evaluations on NFL free agents. And then we're here in Indianapolis and certainly have got a bunch of evaluations on the players that are coming out of college. But take care of the football in many different ways. They occurred in many different ways this year, so we've got to get better doing that.
How important will it be for Michael Vick to have a full offseason as a starting quarterback, something that he's not had yet with the Eagles?
Well, that's right. We're excited. He's excited. He's been in the building virtually every day during the offseason. So he's excited. It's important not only for Michael, but it's important for all of our players and especially some of those younger players that have been with us for just 1 or 2 years to get this off season. So we're all excited about this off season. We can get better at many, many things.
What did you see from Michael in the last 4 games of the season where he seemed to play more from the pocket, seemed more confident from there, wasn't rushing as much? What did you see on tape in those last 4 games when he came back from the injury?
Well, really, if you remember, he was pretty hot early. He was on track to throw for 4,000 and rush for 1,000. So that's unique there. And then the last 4 games, you could see, and really early in the season, let me go back, early in the season, he got better at many, many things. But it just didn't, you couldn't see it because of the score of the game. And then certainly it paid off those last 4 games, and you saw our whole football team played very well, and Mike managed the game beautifully.
We saw Mike Kafka get some of his first NFL snaps last season. For those that don't get to see practice every day, what is it that gives you guys confidence that down the road that he can be a good starting quarterback if need be, or a very good backup?
Well, he's got some qualities that are important. Decision-making, accuracy, timing. And his decision-making process has been pretty good throughout most of the opportunities that he's had. He's a diligent worker, and he's got a high level of skill and ability. So I think the future is bright for Mike Kafka.
The Eagles signed Trent Edwards, or agreed to terms on a one-year contract. Guy that has some experience in a West Coast offense, has some starting experience. When you scouted him, when you evaluate him, what do you think makes him a good fit for this offense?
Well, he can really throw the football. You remember him coming out of Stanford many years ago, got beat up pretty good there in college, and did a nice job with Buffalo when he had the opportunity. He, again, can really throw the football, good decision maker, more of a pocket guy, really smart. So we're excited to have him.
LeSean McCoy, breakout 2011 season, one of the most elite third-down running backs in the entire football league, three-down running backs, I should say. What was it that allowed him to take that next step last season?
Well, he's always been very good, and it's a cumulative effect of reps for him because he's a talented young man. And when I say young, he still is really young. He had a unique season running the football. The offensive line and tight ends and even the receivers did a heck of a job. But the most important guy is the guy with his ball in the hands when you talk about rushing, the rushing game. He had a great year, did a terrific job in other aspects as well. He catches the football out of the backfield very well. he also blocks very well when he's forced to, a la pass protection. He had one bad game in the pass protection, but other than that, he did a nice job.
It seemed like as the season went on, you tailor the offense and the play calling more and more to fit his strengths and to make him more of the focal point of the offense. What was it that gave you the confidence to be able to do that and continue to have success with that?
Well, he was the focal point of the offense pretty much all year. You know, you've got, you know, I like to use all the eligible receivers and runners. However, you've got LaShawn back in the backfield, and you've got Deshaun and Jeremy and Jason, you know, out wide. And then, of course, you have Michael. So, and then Brent Celek and Clay Harbor had big years as well, you know. So, but from the backfield, LaShawn was a focal point most of the year. And you remember early he was scoring a touchdown a game or more. So he had a pretty good run the whole year.
A lot of fans always ask about how good did the offensive line really play. Now, this is a new coach, new scheme, a lot of new starters along the offensive line. It didn't even come together until right before the start of the season.
That's right.
How, in your estimation, and looking back at the tape throughout the course of the season, did the offensive line perform last season?
Oh, I really know this, that our offensive line has an opportunity to be one of the best offensive lines in this league. And you're right. We had a lot of new players, a new coach. We were doing some new things. So I was really impressed with the way that they came together. And you know, we've got a free agent there as well. And then we've got some depth as well. We've got some good players that haven't played yet. So I'm excited about the future of our offensive line. And you know, everything starts with the offensive line, as you know. That enables LaShawn McCoy and Michael Vick and all the receivers and tight ends to be able to do their job. They've got to get their job done first.
Can you speak more specifically to the two rookies? Jason Kelce started all 16 games. Danny Watkins was in there about five games into the season, and he started the rest of the way. How did they progress throughout the course of the season?
Outstanding. Both are going to be outstanding players. I think they already are. Unique situation where it's hard, and I'm talking about Kelce. It's hard to make a change at center, as is. You make a change and then do a rookie center starting his first ball game. That's unique. A great respect for Jason Kelce and what he did this year and has sort of become a leader of the offensive line. Very smart, very physical, very athletic, as you've seen. And then Danny. Did a tremendous job down the stretch. He wasn't quite as ready coming in for the program. And so it took him several weeks into the season to get himself ready. And when he got ready, he played well down the stretch. Both can get better with an offseason. There's two more players where the offseason becomes real important.
General Manager Howie Roseman spoke at the Combine and told reporters that when it comes to Deshaun Jackson, he thinks he has a bright future as a Philadelphia Eagle, and that he's an optimistic guy and hopes things can work out with him. How important is Deshaun to this offense, and what would it mean if he's back here in 2012?
Well, Deshaun Jackson knows what I think about him, so we'll keep that personal. However, he scares people is what he does when he's on the field, because he's always a threat for the big play. He'd be important to anybody's offense, that speed alone. And then Deshaun's a natural player. So we're excited about the future going forward with Deshaun Jackson as a Philadelphia Eagle. He's an outstanding player and will be in the future as well.
One receiver whose role expanded throughout the course of the year was Brent Celek. Talk about how he was able to progress and how Michael became more and more comfortable with him as a go-to target in the offense.
Yeah, well, some of it was a little bit of fortune. Some of it was trying to get Brent Celek the ball. Some of it was Michael Vick becoming comfortable with Brent. So all of those things sort of came together somewhere, if I remember correctly, in the middle of the year, you know, that first third of the year, and Brent had a highly productive year in the passing game for us. Now, both Brent and Clay do some things in line that few people get to see that help us tremendously as well. So they're both excellent players for us, and Brent's numbers were up just a little bit this year, so that was a good thing for him and us.
How important is it that Clay, another guy who didn't have that offseason last year, comes in and helps make this, you know, two tight end offense as effective as it can be?
Well, Clay Harbor's going to be a good football player. Already is. A physical guy, athletic man, and can run. And so he's got big play capabilities in him. So this offseason is important for another man, Clay Harbor. This offseason is, and so he's going to work diligently. And many of our players already have. They're in the building, working on their own, getting their own film. They're working with the strength coaches, of course. So, and then all the guys that were getting rehab are working hard as well. So we're just real excited about the offseason.
With what the Patriots did with their two tight end sets, do you see that becoming more and more in vogue, and where the league shifts to more of attacking the middle of the field and in between the numbers instead of outside the numbers as had been in previous years?
Well, you always try to do that. And the two things come to mind with the two tight ends is, first of all, many things are cyclic in this league. And secondly, you've got to have two tight ends that are good enough. And you go all the way back when I was in Green Bay, we had Jackson and Chimura. And then when I was in San Francisco, you know, we had Jones and a couple other guys were very good. And then we've had two good tight ends here in Philadelphia on many different occasions. And so, it'll always be part of our game.
One young guy that intrigues me is Deion Lewis, guy that got to shine in that last game of the regular season, a guy who can run, catch the ball, show the return capability as well. Is he a guy that you can envision as a dynamic weapon to mix in there with LeSean McCoy down the road?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember answering questions earlier in the year about Deion, and certainly could have given him more opportunities. However, LeSean was so hot that it was hard not to give him the football. And so Deion's a young player that every opportunity he's had, he's taken advantage of and played at a high level. So I would expect him to play more and more and more as his career continues with us here in Philadelphia. So, and he certainly is dynamic, and he's a heck of a runner. Now, there's a couple things he's got to get better at to help us on Philadelphia.
Marty, my last question for you is this. A lot of fans want to know, what can the Eagles do to get better in the red zone? Brent Celek's very good in the red zone. Jerry Macklin's been very productive in the red zone. But overall, what do you think that the team can do on offense to improve the red zone numbers next season?
Well, we were middle of the road in the red zone. You know, we were right in the middle, I think. So it's correlated directly with the turnovers. We had an exorbitant amount of turnovers in the red zone, and we pride ourselves in not turning the ball over in the red zone. And really, the correlation to winning normally is not with the red zone numbers. It's with how many times you get it in the red zone, because typically you're scoring points, whether it be 7 or 3, in the red zone. Well, this year we turned the ball over so many times, I believe it was 8 times in the red zone, that if we just minimize that to a normal amount, we're pretty dynamic in the red zone. So we'll continue to work taking care of the football in all aspects of the game, and especially down in the red zone.
And we are back. Dave Spadaro with you. The Combine is going on in full flight at Indianapolis. We're going to give you a little idea of what's happening here. We want you to take part in the draft in the fourth round. How would you like to announce the Eagles' fourth round draft pick live from the Eagles team table at Radio City on Saturday, April 28th? Enter the Eagles Extra Points credit card draft day takeover for your chance to win. Now, this starts today at noon, 10 minutes away. Go to the official Eagles Facebook page and click on the draft day takeover tab to register. You can also play the instant win game, where you can win amazing Eagles gear like an autographed jersey, authentic helmet, and more. Come back and play every day until April 6th. After playing the instant win game, you can also sign up for the Eagles Extra Points credit card, which will give you additional opportunities to win and announce the Eagles' fourth round draft pick from the team table at Radio City Music Hall. Just visit the Eagles Facebook page for more details. in 10 minutes. Do it early, do it often, all the way through April 6th. And maybe you will be the one, possibly on national television, announcing the Eagles' fourth-round draft pick. Dave Spadaro with you. We talk about the combine. We talk about the risers and the fallers, and you hear it every day. It's this guy's 40 time pushes him up. This guy's bench press reps push him down. Well, let's take a look at our own list that we've compiled here. The combine risers, of course, at the quarterback position, Robert Griffin. Kirk Cousins from Michigan State having a very good throwing session, apparently, over the weekend. The running backs, you see that. 5'9", 216 pounds, 219 pounds, 500. I mean, that's a bowling ball, people. Stephen Hill blazes 4.36 in the 40 after a relatively quiet career at Georgia Tech. And Michael Floyd, a personal favorite, good size, good speed, very productive at Notre Dame. Along the offensive line, a couple of good players there. The wide receivers, good group. Tight ends, not as good. A couple names to consider there. With speed, Michael Igneau from Missouri, somebody to watch. As for the 2012 Combine fallers to date, well, we've got a couple of them as well. I guess the big name there would be Kendall Wright, the wide receiver from Baylor. It's the 4.6 140. Mohamed Sanu, Rutgers wide receiver, doesn't run very well. And then Orson Charles didn't run. People thought he might be a second-round pick. We'll see what he does at his pro day. This all changes when they get to the pro day. So there you go. Up-to-date risers and fallers, the defensive line working today. When we come back, we're going to talk about today's Eagles, specifically last year's second-round draft pick, Jaquan Jarrett. He is in the house, working in the weight room, and talking about some expectations for the year ahead and taking a look back at the combine of 2011. All that and more coming your way. Eagles Live on the other side.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
All right, can we go on with the new guys, Kara? Sore subject? Yeah. A little bit of a sore subject.
Some pan out, some
subject.
Don't, all right?
Okay, okay, let's look at some of these guys because I think they are going to pan out.
Yeah, Justin, let's look at Blackman.
He didn't run, he didn't jump, but boy, did he catch.
Yeah, he did, and this guy won the Biletnikoff Award not once but twice for the college's best wide receiver, and he was Braden Whedon's go-to guy. And he played mostly on the right side, but you see him running routes on the left side. He looks like a natural either way. This guy's big and strong, 40 touchdowns in his career, and he was the Fiesta Bowl MVP. He can run all the routes, short, intermediate, and long. I love this guy. He's going to have a heck of a career in National Football League.
And people say he loves football. Mm-hmm. All right, Kendall Wright out of Baylor, 4.6, 140, and what do you think about him?
Yeah, don't worry about that 4.6, 1 because he was RG3's BFF. This guy is the go-to guy at Baylor. 14 touchdowns, and he can fly. He plays faster than 4.6, 1. He goes bombs away on everybody, Oklahoma, Texas. Every game, he's getting big plays. He's also a threat as a punt returner and a kick returner.
Did you really say BFF?
Yeah.
All right, Michael Floyd out of Notre Dame. 4.47, he is Mike Mayock's third-rated receiver.
Yeah, that's fast for a Golden Domer now, 4.47, because he's a big man now, 6'2", 5'8", 220 pounds. He can run, he can jump, he scores touchdowns, 37 of them. And for the Fighting Irish now, he was productive and dependable guy. He's big, strong, and fast. He's hard to tackle when he with the ball in his hands. You can see he's a very proficient route runner, and he's going to be a first-round pick for somebody.
All right, Reuben Randall from LSU, OMG.
OMG.
4.55. Do you know what that means? Oh, my goodness.
I thought it was oh, my God. Anyway, okay. And they had a lack of a passing game over there at LSU, but he still managed 53 catches and 8 touchdowns. That 4.55, you know what? He's not a blazer, but he's a great possession receiver. Plus, he can run all the routes. He'll hit you in the mouth in the running game. And he, too, is a little bit of a punt returner. That's a little added value for a guy like this with good hands.
All right, Stephen Hill out of Georgia Tech. He's not on Mike Mayock's top five, but he certainly had a good performance on Sunday.
Well, he's a little bit raw, but, boy, this is a big guy. He's 6'4", 250 pounds. 4.36, Carol, that's faster than his buddy Calvin Johnson, right, from Georgia Tech. Look at that.
Calvin Johnson, boy. That was after your time, right?
Yeah, it was after. Okay, I wish it wasn't, but it is. He didn't hurt his shoulder there, but he made a great effort. Talk about a red zone target. He only had 28 catches because he played on a team with a run game, but what a project this guy is going to be. I'd love to coach him at 6'4", and he can fly.
You know, they call that upside. Here are the fastest 40-yard dash times. As Warren Sapp said, the guys from the U, they can still run. They can still run. 4.36 for Travis Benjamin, Stephen Hill, and Chris Owusu. And in case you were wondering and you wanted some visual proof that they tied each other, we've got that for you. Here they are, all three next to each other on the simulcam. And isn't it interesting? They all run the same time,
oh,
and they run it a little differently.
Ooh, well, between the two guys, it's a dead heat. I love that simulcam.
Would have been in Indianapolis doing the combine. What do you remember most about that experience?
Being at the combine, it's the biggest one of the biggest interviews of your life. You know, it's a long 4 days, long process. So I recommend that all the players embrace it and enjoy it because you only go through it once.
In terms of how nervous you were you more nervous for the on-field stuff or for the interviews with teams? Behind the scenes?
I think they both go hand in hand because when you're interviewing with the teams, you know, you want to be as professional as possible. And when you're out there doing the drills, all eyes on you. So you want to make a best impression.
Was there one drill where you felt like you killed it afterwards?
I think I did well in every drill. You know, you always can think that you always feel like you could do better. But I think I improved. I was at the combine.
Did you, do you remember if you talked with the Eagles at the combine?
No, I did not talk to the Eagles at the combine.
So they were slow playing you.
I guess.
In terms of, it's been a year since then. How different of a player do you feel like you are having gone through this season, your rookie season?
I think I'm getting improving every day. You know, continuing to learn from the safeties and the coaching staff, and becoming a great team player.
What is the big goal for you this offseason?
To get bigger, get stronger, and get smarter. Become got a more understanding of the position.
And we've talked to a couple rookies last year. Obviously, you weren't able to go through any off-season activities until training camp. Do you think being able to do that this off-season is going to be a big difference for you?
Yeah, I think having a full off-season is going to help me tremendously.
Thanks, Jacob.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
What a key player Jaquan Jarrett is. Second round draft pick last year. And, you know, he did come in, no OTAs, very difficult position. These are not excuses, but I guess they sound like him. Just didn't develop for the Eagles last year. I love the fact that he's here already, has been here for weeks and weeks. Bigger, stronger, faster, and smarter. That is the goal for Jaquan Jarrett. Dave Spadaro with you. It's Eagles Live. And reminder here, as we take a look at the headlines, we are full draft coverage coming away. I guess it's never too early to let you know what our schedule is for the draft, but we'll be live Monday of that week, Wednesday of that week, and then once the draft begins, Merle Reese, myself, Adam Kaplan will join us in studio. At times, we will have a three-person studio for full draft coverage. Let's get you caught up here. Franchise, the football group, they're all out in Indianapolis. Franchise tag still has not been used on DeSean Jackson, so the deadline to use the tag is next Monday. I still believe this, that DeSean will be here, and that, in fact, possibly, potentially, hopefully, with a multi-year contract. Eagles, last week, meeting with Robert Griffin III at the Combine. What does that mean? I don't know. Reportedly, Eagles have more than $28 million in salary cap room. Wow. They're going to take care of their own. I'm not getting my hopes up for free agency, which, by the way, begins March 13th. Full draft coverage, as I said, starts Wednesday, April 25th. And then last week, the Eagles signing quarterback Trent Edwards. Are they done at the quarterback position? We shall find out. All right, we talked to Jaquan Jarrett, another player working out here. And today, we're trying to lock down Michael Vick, but he's running all over the place. Jason Kelsey, Jaquay Parker. And this guy, Cedric Thornton. When we talk about defensive tackles, Cedric Thornton not that involved in the conversation, quite frankly. Listen, last year he came here. He was on the practice squad, then was elevated to the active roster for the end of the year. Eagles like him. He's got to get stronger. A good talent. Can he develop enough to help them in 2012? We talked to Thornton about the combine last year and about his goals for the offseason.
All right. Well, we're here with Eagles defensive tackle Cedric Thornton. And Cedric, a year ago, you were in Indianapolis going through the combine stuff. What do you remember about that time?
I remember it being a surreal event. A lot of stuff that I didn't have was not prepared for, you know, coming from Division II. Like I said, it was surreal. It was real nerve-wracking. You had all the NFL coaches, all the GMs, and, you know, all the people that's playing in NFL right now, like Von Miller, and, you know, Aldon Smith. So, I mean, I remember them guys being nervous, and I seen them last year just take over the NFL with straight domination. So, I don't know. It come from nerve-wracking and showcasing your skills on another level.
What were you more nervous for, the on-field stuff or the interviews behind the scenes?
I think it was kind of a little bit of both. But the on-field, like I said, I was not prepared for it. And once they got me in the interviews, you know, it's just like a real job, you know. Just don't want to make any mistakes. Just don't want to say the wrong stuff at the, you know, at the right time. So I mean, both on field and interviews.
So a lot has happened over the past year. Obviously, you know, the draft. You end up with the Eagles, a full season here, and then now you're here ready for the off season. What has it been like over the last year for you?
The last year is really, I guess I've been a kind of like the student in the midst of a whole bunch of teachers. So really just learning the game from another perspective, just trying to take it day at a time and just try to get better. So, I mean, like, I'm glad that I'm in Philadelphia. We're surrounded by a whole bunch of teachers like Cullen Jenkins, you know, Jason Babin, and, you know, and all them Jaquay Parkers and Antonio Dixon and Coach Washburn especially. So I'm just glad to be here in Philadelphia.
Now, during the season when you were on the practice squad, you had an opportunity to join another team, mm-hmm. but you chose to stay with the Eagles, obviously. Why did you choose to stay here?
Like I said, I just like the organization. You know, I just like how they are very just presidential around here. You see everything. Like, I'm standing in front of the weight room, and just I just like how they're organized, and I just like how everybody treats you like, you know, family.
So as far as this offseason goes, what are your goals in terms of getting better?
My goals are getting on the field first, just taking, you know, just taking in a next step, you know, not just being this practice squad player that everybody like, okay, he's a good practice squad player. Just trying to get on the field and showcase my skill and just be the person, you know, to carry the weight and not be the weight that's being carried.
And so how important will this offseason be, having the opportunity to go through a full offseason with the coaches and with your teammates?
This is very important. Just trying to get not be that person that's still in the same position that I was last year. Just trying to elevate my skills and just trying to get better, man. Like I said, I don't want to be the weight that's being carried. I want to carry some of the weight.
All right. Thank you very much, Cedric. Appreciate it.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Hi, I'm Eagles cheerleader Sarah. How would you like to perform at Eagles home games for over 67,000 fans? Does cheering for your favorite team, modeling, and appearing at high-profile events interest you? Then you should audition to become a Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader. Our 2012 open call auditions are taking place on Saturday, March 24th at Lincoln Financial Field. Come try out to become a member of our elite NFL cheerleading squad. Visit the cheerleader section for more information and to register.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Adam Kaplan. He's Greg Cosell. We're in the film room. And Greg, in this segment, we're going to take a look at the tight ends. And I remember back in 2003, Antonio Gates kind of started it.
Yep.
Although he's an undrafted free agent, he kind of burst on the scene. He was kind of a detached tight end. We fast forward nearly 10 years.
Wow.
It's incredible Antonio Gates has been in the league that long. But we've seen over the years the detached tight end, a guy like Fred Davis of the Redskins, who's only 6'2". Let's talk about him and what does he bring to the table.
Well, the positions change because offenses have changed.
That's right.
We've now reached the era in the NFL where
tight ends are vertical receivers. They don't just run short routes between the numbers. They run down the field. And so now teams are looking for tight ends that we like to call jokers. And what we mean by that is they can line up anywhere in the formation. And Davis lines up more on the line of scrimmage, as you see here. This is a designed play, a schemed play. It's a throwback. But again, you're dealing with Davis. He moves very well, too. This is another vertical route. That's sort of the theme here. We're talking now with tight ends. This is not the old days. If I'm not mistaken, Adam, it was 1996. You might remember when Kyle Brady was the ninth pick in the draft.
That's right, just a blocking tight end.
I mean,
right.
He's basically a glorified offensive tackle.
Right, right.
Now we go 16 years later, and look where we are with the emergence of the tight end in the NFL. I mean, as I said, you'll see Fred Davis here on the line of scrimmage, but he's running a vertical route here, and he ends up running it on a safety, the Cowboys' Abe Eaglem, and look, he can win against safeties. There's a smoothness to the way these guys move. These guys just look like wide receivers in the way they run, the way they catch the ball. And there's another great example here against the Seahawks. Again, he's lined up on the line of scrimmage. That's essentially where he lines up, but just look at him move. Gets in the open space here against cover three. Big gain. Yeah, I mean, and look at the run after. When did we see
nice.
Tight ends do that years and years ago? We
didn't.
Never saw that.
Nope. I'll tell you, Fred Davis is an example of good drafting. He was a second-round pick. And they needed him last season because, remember, Chris Cooley was put on injured reserve, had the bad knee. Now, another guy we want to take a look at is a guy who's been around in the league for a while. He started off as Jeremy Shockey's backup with the Giants. We're talking about Vasante Shenko moves
yep.
over to the Vikings. Become a pretty good football player.
Yeah, and the thing about Shenko is, and again, not to hit the same point again, but it's true. Look at him here. He's on the line of scrimmage here. But watch him run down the seam. Okay, this time he runs down the seam on a linebacker. Look how
runs quickly right by
he runs right by him. Now, that's a great throw, but he ran right by him. That's an NFL throw. Again, we keep talking about these guys getting vertical. That's what you want now with tight ends. You want them to be able to attack the vertical seams between the numbers. Davis can do it. Shenko has always run. Even when he was with the Giants, he ran well. He's not a great blocker, but at the end of the day, what Shenko really is, again, another guy who can run pretty well, get down the seam, stretch the defense, make plays in the intermediate areas of the field. That's the game. Here he's lined up in the slot, okay? Again, detached from the formation.
Exactly, and looking run right down the middle. That was a great throw and a great catch. Yeah, and again, you got to be able to run at the tight end position. If we've learned anything in this segment, if you can't run, you're probably not going to be on the field very much at tight end.
Well, then you become a guy who's a blocker,
exactly.
And then you become a package player in certain situations. But notice, we've watched all these tight ends, almost all these passes, with the exception of the red zone plays, they've caught the ball at least 18 to 20 yards from the line of scrimmage. These are not throw a 5-yard pass. These are vertical plays attacking the defense down the field.
All right, great stuff, Greg. Till next time, he's Greg Cosell. I'm Adam Kaplan.
Maybe the Eagles will draft a tight end. Maybe they'll draft one in the fourth round. And if they do, you know that you could have a chance to be the person announcing the Eagles' fourth-round draft pick. Well, guys, it is live now. The Eagles' Extra Points Credit Card Draft Day Takeover. Sweepstakes. An instant win. All you have to do is go to the official Facebook page right now. Right now. Click on the Draft Day Takeover tab to register. You can also play the instant win game where you can win amazing Eagles gear like an autographed jersey, authentic helmet, and more. Come back and play every day until April 6th. So do it. Philadelphia Eagles Facebook page. Do it and do it now. All right, Dave Spadaro with you. I think we have wrapped it all up, right? I mean, we caught you up on everything that's going on and even made up the stuff that's not going on. All the football is going on at the Combine. Eagles aren't talking. This doesn't change. Some dates that are key for you to remember. Monday is the franchise deadline tag day. So it either goes on DeSean Jackson or Evan Mather, somebody, or it doesn't be or it can't be used. Eagles meet with Robert Griffin III in Indianapolis. What does it mean? Especially since they signed Trent Edwards last week. Are they done at quarterback? Eagles reportedly $28 million to spend under the salary cap this year. Again, a lot of that will be used on players on the existing roster. I go into free agency with very low expectations. Not going to be like last year at all. I hope the Eagles hit their targets and hit them well and then go draft very, very well. That's the key. Three picks in the top 51 for this football team. So we're going to be back next Monday. Unless something big happens before then, we're live all the time here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, particularly around the draft. More than 1 million visitors come check us out during the draft week and weekend, and we'll be here.